God is good.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father, we come before you asking for your favor this morning. Lord, favor us that we might hear and understand and comprehend what your word would teach us this morning. Lord, help us. We desperately need your spirit to move in our souls. Enlighten us this morning, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. There she is. You can see her on the pedestal. And as passersby see her, they remark, how disgusting. How could she do such a thing? How could she sell herself like that? Pitiful. Up for sale, another says. He owned her, but he didn't want her. Humiliated, ashamed, half-naked, and alone she stood. Up for sale, said the voice again, in silence. Did anybody want her? Up for sale. Going once, going twice. Then a voice rang out, 15 shekels. I'll give you 15 shekels. As the voice sounded, her eyes lifted, because she knew that voice. And she frantically looked out to find where was the voice coming from. She knew that voice. Sold for 15 shekels to the man in the front row. And there she found his eyes. She knew him. It was her husband. It was Hosea. He had bought her back. And the only thing she could muster to say to him was, why? Why? Why are you buying me back? I've abandoned you. I betrayed you. I united myself with others. And you? You want me back? At that moment, Gomer understood grace. And while I may have taken some artistic liberties with the beautiful story of Hosea, the truth of the story is this: it is God's grace that draws us back to Him when we have united ourselves with another. Hosea's response and Hosea's command of God was this: love her like I love my people. So the question for us this morning is, will we be united with Jesus or with the world? If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to open up to 1 Corinthians. We're going through a theme this year that's called Face Your Fear. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The truth of God given to us. I hope that you are facing your fear this year. Also this year, we are working through the book of 1 Corinthians. And we're in the 6th chapter, and we'll, God willing, we will close it out today. And we will look at the uniting of yourself with someone. You choose who it will be. Last week we looked at handling disagreements, or that was a couple weeks ago, handling disagreements. Last week we looked at this passage in 1 Corinthians starting in chapter 9 with talking about freedom and constraint from our freedom. So I'm going to begin with a quick review starting in verse 9. If you have your Bibles, would you say amen?
Amen?
Or if you have the words on the screen and already, would you say amen? Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. If that doesn't make you step back just a little bit, you may need to read that again. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. But were some of you. You now have freedom in Jesus Christ. And it's not an unconstrained freedom, though, as Paul reminded us, or told us and instructed us last week, there are two constraints. And this is what we looked at last week. Benefit. Does it benefit us? Will it control us? And he says in verse 12, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful, beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated, controlled by anything. And last week we looked at this. So let's keep the long view in mind, the long-sighted view in mind. And that's where he went in verse 13. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food. And God will destroy both one and the other. Keep the long view in mind. Things are going to be destroyed. Verse 13, we finalize with this. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Now we get into Paul's teaching and the reason for our bodies. You know, you ever wonder, why did God create our bodies when we do things like Gomer did with her body? Why did he even give us bodies? You and I have seen it. You see it on the news. You see it in your homes. Our youth see it at the school. We see it at work every day. People defiling their bodies, using their bodies for immoral purposes. But look what Paul says. This is a transformative teaching. Are you with me? This is what Paul says. The body's not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord is meant for our bodies. There is a reason we have a physical body. There is a purpose. And this is a huge teaching. And I'll say this. This thought distinguishes so many Christians from churchgoers. And I say it like that, choosing my words carefully. This is what distinguishes many Christians from churchgoers. And here it is. Some people view God as a means to get what we want. Well, if I pray right, if I act right, if I do things that are right, God will give me good things. He'll bless me. Some people see God as a means to get what we want in life. But that's not what Paul is saying. Paul says almost the exact opposite. This is where I think the distinction comes in. Some see themselves as a mean to give God what he wants. Do you see the difference? It is drastic. Some see and say, well, I'll come to faith because God will give me what I want. And use God as a genie or magician to get what we want out of him. When rather the purpose that God has for us and making us is so that we might offer to him what makes him happy, offer to him what he wants. But the body is for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. Our bodies are meant to serve and honor the Lord. But here's what happens. Some use our bodies or their bodies to do things that feel good, or merely feel good. Others use their bodies because they seek to please the Lord and use it for His own glory. And this is what we see in this passage when Paul lists this list of sins, this list of things: immorality, idolatry, adultery, homosexuality, greed, drunkenness, reviling, anger, whatever it may be. Using our bodies for things that are not for His glory. If you're with me, look at verse 14. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by His power. Here's where it comes, Christian. Here's what we need to understand. While passions well up within us and cause us and lead us to do things that are improper and ungodly, for those who have united with Christ, with the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 14, God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by His power. I love the picture that Jeff gave us this morning. Sin sends us to the grave. Jesus sends us to all eternity in the presence of God. Who will you unite with? And this is the question that each one must face, especially if you're here in church this morning. Who will you unite with? Will you unite with sin and spend eternity in the grave and condemnation and eternal death? Or will you unite with Jesus and be in the presence of God? And the God who raised us up will also raise us up with His power. Remember the context here. We go back a couple verses to, or really one verse, to the beginning of verse 13. He says this: God is going to destroy food and the stomach. This world, all of the pleasures that are temporal, that some people choose over the glory of the Son, they're burning. They're going to burn. They're not lasting. And without the long view in mind, people seek pleasure, worldly pleasures, over eternal pleasures. And yes, there are pleasures in God. Christian, look at Revelation chapter 21 with me, if you will. Verse 1 through 3. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven of God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God." You see, this is the picture of all eternity. The new heaven and new earth is so that we physically might be with God for all eternity, knowing God. Friend, if you do not know God now, you will not know Him later. Jesus said, and this is eternal life, that they know the one true God in Jesus Christ whom He has sent. So here's the question, and this is why I brought in the story of Gomer and Hosea this morning. To whom are you uniting yourself with? Who are you uniting with now? Because this picture of sexual immorality is a broader picture. This picture of new heaven and new earth and temple coming down is a broader picture. It's a picture of who will we be uniting with. It's the story of what have we done here on this earth. Have we chosen the world or have we chosen the Lord Jesus Christ? And this is eternal life, that you know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. Remember this. And I've read this verse, and I hope you've memorized it by now. In 1 John 2:17, it says this: "And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever." The world is passing away. And many of us in our minds think, "Oh, well, I'm good. I'm good. I know Jesus. I asked Jesus into my heart. I prayed a prayer. sometime. I think Jeff has showed us that's not what Christianity is. A lot of people can pray prayers. You do not have to be a Christian to pray to Jesus. Put it like that. Lots of people pray to Jesus and go out and deny Him every day. Praying to Jesus does not save you. Knowing Jesus saves you. Look at the rest of verse 13. The point that Paul is making is this: we are not meant to be united to the world, but united with Jesus. The body is meant for the Lord, and the Lord is meant for the body. Christian, the world should not satisfy us. And like C.S. Lewis said, because we're made for another. The world is not where we seek our satisfaction. Revelation 21 continues and says this in verse 7. To the one who conquers, who overcomes. Overcomes what? Overcomes the temptation of this world. To the one who conquers, I will have this heritage. I will be his God and he will be my son. There is a struggle, friend, between world and God in us all. Look at verse 8. It sounds very familiar to early in chapter 6. But to the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, for the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake of fire that burns, in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. So friend, where will you be? Where will you be? Have you surrendered yourself to Jesus Christ? Let me show you the surrender that I'm speaking of. It is a constant surrender. It is the surrender that caused Jeff to say, you know, I feel like I haven't been obedient because I was baptized before I gave my life to Jesus. And everything I see in Scripture says that you are to be baptized following your conversion. And I just feel like I'm not obedient. And I'm willing to go up in front of people and have people ask me questions. I'm willing to humble myself to be obedient. That's the humility. Do you have that humility before the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you taking Jesus and saying, Jesus, I want to add you so that I can get what I want in life. Be more successful. Have more toys. Who are we uniting ourselves with? Verse 15. Do you not know that your bodies are a member of Christ? Christian, we are united with Jesus. And he's using this illustration of this intimacy between a man and a woman to show us the intimacy that there is between a believer and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says this, shall I take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. You wonder why in the book of Revelation that this world is symbolized by the harlot. Shall I take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? No. Christian, your job is not to be cool in this world. Your job is not to be like the world. It is to be like Jesus Christ. How much of our time is spent trying to fit into a world that we don't even belong? We are members of our Lord Jesus Christ. Never, he says, never. And friend, this is why unfaithfulness in marriage is so serious. Because what you are saying, we know that Scripture teaches us that marriage is a picture of Christ and his church. And when we're unfaithful in marriage, we are saying, Jesus doesn't matter. I'd rather be united to something else than to Jesus Christ. That's what he says in verse 16. Do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one with her? For as it is written, the two shall become one flesh. There is a unity that goes on when a Christian becomes a Christian. He is in Christ, says Ephesians, over and over again. We are one with Jesus. For he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Do you see the beauty in this? There's a unity that takes place between a Christian and his Savior that is unique to anything else. And that union, that fellowship, that intimacy does not happen while we are united in this world, to this world. It happens when we separate. You wonder why the scripture says he shall leave his father and mother and be united with his wife. There is a leaving that must take place, and there is a uniting that must take place. I know this is deep stuff. But James says it this way, and he says it pretty in your face. James says this: you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Christian, are you a little too friendly with the world? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. To whom will you unite? Choose you this day who you will serve, whether the gods of our forefathers or the gods of this land. But as for me and my house, says Joshua, we will serve the Lord. Choose you this day who you will serve. All right, you've got it. This is your foundation of theology. You've got it. To whom will we unite ourselves? Is it the world? Is it the Lord Jesus Christ? Does it matter? Yes, it matters. All eternity matters. And how would you say then, a Christian, if you're here today, how do we guard ourselves against the slide that leads us to embrace worldliness? How do we guard ourselves? How do we Christians guard ourselves? Because the harlot is out there calling to us, as Proverbs says, from the streets, beckoning us, come to the world. It's pleasurable. It's comfortable. You'll like it. Come on. Just a little bit. One time. Enjoy it. And it is that beast of compromise that knocks at our door day by day by day. And I'll tell you this. I know godly men who have ruined their marriages one conversation at a time. And you know them too. I know great churches that have lost their gospel influence one business meeting at a time. I know great empires that have fallen one citizen at a time. And here's the truth. Compromising of God's truth for a lie one time leads us down a slope that when we least expect it will slip from beneath our feet. And it's one compromise at a time. Read Pilgrim's Progress, if you will. You'll see Pilgrim's Road and the compromises that he makes that nearly damn his soul. So, Christian, I ask you this. What compromises are you making? What is it that you say, I just can't seem to beat it? What is it that's that temptation that gets you every time that maybe you've even grown to accept it? Maybe you've even justified it in your own mind. Maybe you've even talked to others about, well, it's not really that bad. What compromises are you making, uniting yourself in the web of this world? And I have a word from you, for you. A word from God and a word from Paul. Are you ready? Flee. Run. Get out of there. Get away. Flee from sexual immorality. Look at verse 18. Flee. Get out of there. It's what Joseph did when Potiphar's wife was ripping his clothes off. Get out of there. Get away. Christian, run. Don't compromise. Don't entertain. Run. But all too often, we just sit and watch. Flee, Paul says, flee. Every other sin a person commits is outside his body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Here's what it is. And here's what it is. Grab this idea. I thought you were going to keep going there for a minute. Immorality is a compromise of body and soul. And this is what Paul is getting at. So hear me. Come on back in if you've left me. Immorality, when we choose immorality, when we choose this lifestyle, what we are saying is, God, I'm forsaking what I know that you have created for good and in a way that has freedom, but it has constraints, that you've created intimacy, that you've created food, that you've created entertainment, that you've created time, money, authority, power, all of these things. I know you've made them good, but I am going to unite myself to the world's way because it's pleasing to me. And so when we do that, our body engages in this thing, this sin that entangles us, as the author of Hebrews says, entangles us. And we voluntarily abandon our soul from our Maker and Creator into this web of filth. And there we stand on the stage, ashamed, half naked, alone, while our Master says, up for sale. Because once sin has us, all it wants to do is destroy us. Once sin has us, all he wants to do is destroy us. But Christian, once God has us, all he wants to do is exhort us and make us more like Jesus. When we unite ourselves with the world in immorality, we are abandoning our God and the union that he has made with us. So Christian, what am I calling for you? Christian, here's what it is. I'm calling for us as Christians to read a passage like this from Paul and say, you know, there is something in me that draws me to worldliness. There's something in me that's drawing me. And I have got to flee those desires, get away from them. And I said a few weeks ago, Jesus said it's better enter the kingdom of heaven maimed with one eye than to burn forever in the pit of hell. Who will we have union with? Who will we commit ourselves with? Who will we join ourselves with? James said, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? I am calling out, Christian, for you to separate ultimately and finally yourself from the world and unite yourself ultimately and finally to God. And that is salvation. You can get wet, Jeff, and not be saved. You can walk an aisle and not be saved. You can come to church, you can read your Bible, you can pray and not be saved. You are not saved until you surrender yourself fully to the God who called you. And this is what repenting and believing in Jesus is. It is saying, I am no longer my boss, I am turning away from the world, and I am trusting myself unto Jesus Christ. And I will be obedient, even if I have to get in front of a bunch of people. I'll be obedient and do what you've called me to do, Lord. Jesus has paid the price. 15 shekels, he said, you're mine. The blood from my veins, you're mine. My death on the cross, you're mine, Jesus says, you're mine. He purchased you, Christian. You were bought with a price, Paul says. You are not your own. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Look at the last two verses with me. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you? You have been born again. You weren't born again until later, but now you understand. Oh, now I love Jesus. And I'm united with Him because His Spirit is now within me. I am surrendered to the world. I don't want any of it. I want Jesus. You are not your own, Paul says. For you were bought with a price. Oh, dear friends, it was much more than 15 shekels. It was the life to the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are not your own. And if you are your own, you're your own. You don't have Jesus. So glorify God in your body. So here's the question. Are you sold out to Jesus? Are you your own, or are you our Lord Jesus's? Whose are you? Who are you united with? And I'll tell you how to find out. You examine yourself. And you ask yourself this question. You look as honestly as you can in the mirror of God's Word, and you ask yourself this question. Do I look more like the world, or do I look more like Jesus? And if you are not getting to the place where you look more like Jesus, you have your answer. Let's pray together. Father, you've challenged us this morning with your word. Convict us, O Lord. Draw us to salvation that we might know you, that we might become like you, that we might be faithful to you and not into this world. O Lord, give us what we need to fight the power of sin, to keep it in the grave, and to commit to love, to pursue the Lord Jesus Christ, to set our minds on things above. Help us, O God. The Spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. Help our spirit to seek you wholeheartedly. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.